Hello, welcome to Game Changer. Monday through Friday, David Villa and our crew dive into God's Word and talk about how to take principles from the Bible and apply them to our daily lives. Thanks so much for listening, and here's our host.
All right, good morning. Happy Monday. Welcome back. This is David Villa. I'm here with my wife, Diana Villa. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. I hope you guys have recovered and rejuvenated from family time and turkey day and shopping, all of the above. But today's Monday, and we're getting ready to align our week to be the best week yet.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, it took a lot of recuperating. We look at it as like it's an amazing time, obviously spending time with family, but when you add all the food in, you add the hectic hustle and bustle, right? The Black Friday, and I don't know. We had it seemed like three days of just different things. We also celebrated Ashton's birthday in there, so we just had a lot of uptime, and they made us really look forward to the weekend. We had some downtime to wrap it up. But anyway, I'm excited. This is a great season. The holiday season is awesome. And how many of you guys had a good weekend? You guys have a good weekend? You guys eat some good stuff? Was it everything that you expected it to be as far as all the projections on the food? You guys named all your foods. Were you disappointed?
I was overjoyed. I was thankful because I was the one that made green bean casserole this year.
There you go.
I made it from scratch, like bare bones scratch, like no canned beans, no like.
Like Jolly Green Giant would have been happy.
Nah, man, I made these things from 100% scratch, and it was pretty dope.
Pretty good.
I have to say, eating like less salt and stuff like that, everything I tasted, I looked at David at one point and said, "I think that something's wrong with me, because I don't cook enough. Like everything is salty." So it was so strange, but it didn't have the same effect. I don't know. I'm a sweet eater, so pumpkin pie was still good, but the casseroles, I don't know, they were a little bit salty to me. I don't know, I don't get it, but
we've been eating better. We've been eating better all year, and less sodium, so it just tasted a little different, but they were still good. It was a great time.
You better say they were awesome.
they were awesome.
I can bow out on myself. Stuff, but you can't. You better tell you it was the best darn casseroles you've eaten all year. True story.
Only casseroles I've eaten all year, so I'm pretty safe there. All right, so hope you guys had a good weekend as well, and make sure you guys share the show if you're watching this live, and we welcome you guys back. We're going to talk this week. It's freestyle. If you can see behind us, we're freestyling. Don't worry, we're not going to rap, and you don't want to see that. We may bring someone in. Who knows? You never know what we're going to do, but we're going to just freestyle. We don't really have a topic. We're going to be moving into the month of December, obviously, this week, so next week we're going to start our Merry and Bright series. Then we're going to kind of go into just really a great December. We're going to be talking about closing out the year, man, kicking off 2022, and hang with us this year because we believe that together we're better, right? And we're going to talk about just today the freestyling topic. And what freestyling really means is, this week, you're going to tune in and you're not necessarily going to know what we're going to be talking about. We're going to have independent messages each and every day and just kind of go with the flow of the Holy Spirit. We're going to freestyle this week. And today we're going to talk about maintaining faith. And, it's based and rooted out of the Matthew, the 14th chapter. And I think we have a lot to talk about today because it's one of these, it's times like this. These are my favorite because it really gives us the opportunity, to share on typically a topic that we're familiar with, you're familiar with, and then we all can kind of just have a conversation. And I think a lot of good nuggets come out of these moments, whether we call it freestyling or we just have a week where we're going to just, go with the flow. But this week, today we're starting off with maintaining faith. And how many know you can't maintain something that you haven't started? You can't maintain something that you haven't, you don't have or that you don't possess. And so this is not one of those things where, hey, like you need to get faith. Getting faith is important, but I want to talk to you guys about maintaining faith. You've had it, you've walked in it, you've operated in it, you believe God for it. Now, you need to maintain it because you're not quite where you're not seeing the answer yet. You're not there yet, right? And so Matthew 14, 22, 20 through 33, I'm going to read this. It says immediately, and this is in the New Living Translation, very familiar passage, right? Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake. So this is set just for purpose of setting. This is after he fed the multitude. You guys know that we've talked on this podcast a lot. We've written a Bible plan on God Math or on the Faith Factor, and we've discussed that. So right after that situation occurred, right, Dave, they had faith. I would say faith was operating at a high level because there was a little boy who had a lunch, who, you know, watched 5,000 people get fed, and then there were leftovers. There was just miracles taking place, right? So after this, it said immediately after this, Jesus insisted his disciples get back into the boat. How many know that sometimes, you know, you get a victory, or you get, you know, you God operates and moves in the area of faith. And then right after that, he's like, hey, you know what? Get back in the boat, season two. You know what I mean? It's like sometimes you don't get a rest. You know, we talked about kind of the rest after the holidays, but sometimes you get right back in the boat. And maybe today feels like that. Maybe ending the year feels like that. You know, you kind of felt like, oh, the holiday was like a finish line, but the reality is the year's not over, right? You're not where you know where you're going to end up, and, you know, you're still not there, right? So Jesus insisted they get back into the boat, back in, cross to the other side of the lake. While he sent the people home, after sending them home, he went into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble. How many of you have ever been in trouble? Far away from land, in the middle of nowhere, right? In the middle of your storm. For a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, or let's just say this, in a dark season, right? Jesus came toward them walking on water. You know, sometimes in the Sunday school, we get this like picture of Jesus like walking on a calm water. I mean, you gotta understand that, you know, he was still man and God. And I think that he had to conquer the waves. He walked on them, but I mean, this was a sight to be seen. You know, it wasn't like he was just walking like a hologram. I believe that he was proving that you can walk on what tries to sink you. Amen. So Jesus was walking on water. When the disciples saw him, they were terrified in fear. I would be too. They cried out, "It's a ghost," but Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage, I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over to the side of the boat, walked on water towards Jesus, and when he saw the strong winds and waves, he was terrified, began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out, grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back in the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. One thing I want to point out, Peter had faith. He had faith because that takes major faith to get out of the boat and to walk where natural men sink. So Jesus looked at him and said, he said, "Why? You have so little faith." He didn't say you have none. You have so little. So in the middle of the storm where he got out of the boat in major faith, right? He got out of the boat in big faith. Over the course of time, the enemy began to siphon. He began to lose. This faith began to diminish. And I want to talk today about maintaining faith. How do we maintain faith? I think it's going to be a good subject. What do you think? You got anything yet? You write some stuff down.
I was just trying to think. You know, you said little faith. And how many know sometimes we walk into a season of life and we are full of faith, right? We like nothing's going to stop us. We're going to, you know, run through brick walls. We're going to jump over mountains, all these things. We walk into a season so full of faith. And then when the storm comes, you know, we're taken back a little bit. And I think that's probably where Peter, he got out of the boat with like this tenacity, like, "I'm going to do this," right? Jesus is in front of me. He's called me to come to him, so I'm going to do it. And how many times has God called us into seasons of our life and we walk out into it full of faith, ready to go, like, "Let's go, Jesus." And then some waves and some winds and some naysayers and some struggles and some financial adversity, some, you know, hiccups in relationships, you know, an unexpected expense, whatever it is, our kids acting crazy, and these waves come, and all of a sudden we're like, "Man, did I really hear the Lord?" And so I feel like that's kind of very relatable to us because we've all done that, but yet Jesus was still with him, right? He was still in front of him. He didn't like just walk away. He was still there. And so sometimes even when we are walking out in a season in faith, we got to remember, even though those waves and those storms come, Jesus is still there. And so, you know, we have to shake ourselves, you know, and I don't know why I'm drawing a blank of that scripture, but we have to shake ourselves in faith, right? But here's the amazing thing. He said, save me, Lord. That's all we have to do. We start to feel it. Save us, Lord. Lord just brought him right back to the boat, brought us right back.
Yeah, and I mean, this is a difficult story for me to comprehend, you know. I mean, I think that, you know, you and I have been married almost 30 years. We've been in church that long, and I've been in church my whole life. I've seen God do some pretty incredible things, and I have no, you know, problem imagining Jesus, like, stopping a storm, but walking on the surface of a turbulent lake. We were there in Israel, and, you know, we saw the the water, the sea where Jesus was walking, the Sea of Galilee, but to watch him, or to comprehend somebody walking on the surface of a turbulent lake, I just think that's weird and obviously impossible. But it shows how powerful Jesus was. Because even while in the human flesh, right, he was completely dominant over the forces of nature. And, you know, I just want to stop and remind somebody today. Because, you know, even over this past weekend, you know, maybe something shifted. Maybe you saw the light at the end of the tunnel, and then something shifted in the natural. And it can downright seem impossible. It can seem like, you know, this is not or can't happen because of this. This is what's going on. And it's just, maybe it's black and white. Maybe it's factual. But can I just say that Jesus is still dominant over the forces of nature. And if he wants it, if he wills it, then he'll do it. Imagine the opposition that they faced, right? I mean, Jesus walked on water to get to them. You forget the thing that he said, that was said in Matthew, the 22nd chapter, right in the beginning of it, after he sent them away, it said that the disciples were in trouble. And so Jesus knew that they were in trouble. And, you know, so he was completely dominant over the forces of nature. Imagine him just like waltzing to the top of the water, right, to help out his friend stuck in a boat in a storm. And I just think this, the more I live for him, right, he blows my mind. You know, we talked about this, about him feeding the 5,000 plus, right, from just five pieces of bread and two sardines, right? We, you know, a fish combo. We talked about that. But, you know, they saw that. They witnessed that. It blew their mind. They watched how something that didn't add up, not only added up, but provided leftovers. But then they still were terrified and had no idea what was going on. And then I just think that we need to stop and we need to pause for a second. We need to realize and remember the God that we serve. And we need to realize that, you know, nothing's impossible for him. And you know, and so in right in the middle of that, you know, here's the bold, you know, brave, right, believing Peter, right? This one who sticks his foot in his mouth often, but, you know, at this particular time, you know, never wanted to shrink back. He wanted part of the action. So, I mean, he had the sky high faith. And how many have had the sky high faith? I got such faith. I'm gonna jump out of a boat barefoot, feet first, and not expect to sink. Mm-hmm. And so he wanted to be part of the action. He asked to walk on water with Jesus, and rather than wait for him to reach the boat, think about that for a second. Jesus would probably come over to the boat, but Peter, he didn't wait. And so I don't know what he thought would happen when he got to Jesus. I guess he didn't really consider that. But, you know, Jesus was out there in the ways and Peter wanted to be with him. And so when Jesus said, come to me, right, Peter just jumped straight in. And I don't know. To me, that fascinates me, because it's walking where natural men sink. It's walking where natural women sink. It's bold faith. But yeah, he didn't make maintain that relatable. He couldn't maintain it all.
Let's make that relatable. Okay. Walking where natural men or women sink, right? So you have all these challenges, and yet you still have the ability to have joy and faith and trust. And, you know, even though you're facing, you know, adversity or struggle, or, hey, you've been through some bad things, you're walking in the season, and God, you know, God's miraculously allowed you to almost, you know, I think there's been seasons that the Lord has allowed me to maybe not feel the emotions that were appropriate at that time so that he would allow me to be strengthened in him and trust him. And then maybe once I was strengthened, then some of those emotions came through, like walked through some of those things. So, you know, or even though you don't know how you're going to, you know, maybe pay this bill, you're going to trust God anyway. So that's where natural men sink, where natural people begin to feel the pressure and the weight and almost come into a place of, you know, doubt or depression or anxiety or all of these things. But with God, he calls us to walk on water, walk where natural men sink, that even though these things may be something you challenge, you can still walk in the fruit of the Spirit, have joy, have peace, have love, have kindness, have all of those things, where if you allow the circumstances to overtake you, it would be very difficult to represent and have those things.
Yeah. Absolutely. And so in looking at the story, there's a difference in not having faith and having, you know, in not maintaining faith. You know, the story in Nazareth where Jesus was raised, you know, where he performed just a little bit, just a small amount of miracles, because the Bible says that a prophet is not without honor except in his own town, right? And so they had problems believing in Jesus because they were familiar with him. They were around him. They grew up with him. And that's a lack of faith, like those villagers. Peter didn't have a lack of faith. He just couldn't maintain faith. His initial faith in Jesus was huge. I mean, I don't know anyone else that ever got out of a boat and walked on water any other human being. That's incredible. And I think we all can agree with that, right? But his faith dissipated suddenly in challenging circumstances. And this is what's crazy. Going back up into the Matthew in the scripture, you don't have to go back up, but going back into the Matthew 12, 22 through 33, Jesus calls it little faith. And sometimes when we look at little faith, you know, there's a difference, and maybe we can do a series on this. It's kind of cool. It just came to my mind. You know, there's a difference in, you know, the faith of the size of a mustard seed, right? It's small. A mustard seed's small. There's a difference in, you know, having faith the size of a mustard seed in little faith. You know what I mean? And so Jesus called this little faith. At one point, you know, the Jesus commends, hey, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to the mountain, be moved and cast into the sea. So he's saying that, hey, if you are pursuing faith, even a small amount of faith can move a mountain. But there's a difference in small amount of faith and little faith. You know, little faith it comes and goes. It believes and then it doubts. Right? It trusts and then it worries. It motivates but can't sustain. Little faith is better than no faith, but little faith wavers far too much to be called big faith, right? And so Peter, he said, you have little faith. Man, that's got to be shocking. And it wasn't that, so here's the craziest thing. He could have looked at anybody in the boat and been like, Peter's the only, we've even preached this before. Hey, he's the only one that got out of the boat. True. He had some faith. He could have looked at them and be like, you see this? This guy, at least he got out of the boat. None of you got out of the boat. But he didn't go to them and go, and you have little faith, and you have little faith, and you have no faith. You know, he didn't do that. He told Peter, the guy who got out of the boat, he said, you have little faith. He said, you know, if you think about this for a second, am I the God? You stepped the ball of your foot onto the top of water and walked. I'm that God. But am I not God enough to bring you all the way to me? Am I not God enough to bring you into the fruition of this? So it comes, it goes, it believes and doubts, it trusts and worries, it motivates us, but it can't sustain us, right? I don't want to have a little faith in this season. I don't want to have a little faith, because you know what? I want to believe God all the way through. I want to maintain faith. I want to plug the hole. You know, I've gone through life, you know, we've gone through life for a long time together. I've gone through seasons in my life where there's been a hole in my boat. There's been a hole in my bag. You know, we believe God for miracles in our finances. There's seasons before we started tithing that, you know, we had a hole in our seed bag because we weren't tithing. So when we put something in, it would go out the bottom before it ever had time to do anything good. You gotta sew up the holes.
I think in order to maintain, you have to start somewhere. So whatever it is that you're trying to maintain faith, you know, I think there's different seasons for different times. You know, we're trying to maintain faith that God's going to, you know, move in a situation. We're going to maintain faith that, you know, God's going to, you know, bring back in our children into the kingdom of God, whatever that is, right? I think you have to start somewhere and begin practical steps to maintain. So, you know, I'm trying to think of, you know, on a weight loss journey, you make all these real specific cuts, like you do all these major cuts, and I've never been one. I mean, Ashton and I used to bicker a lot when we would go through seasons, and she, you know, I need help eating right, and she'd want to do these, like, fad diets. I've never been someone that's been a fad diet person. Like, you take everything out of your diet that is good and sweet and really tastes good. I've never been someone that's subscribed to that, right? I think everything has to be in correct proportion. So I think, you know, I think wherever you're trying to maintain your faith, because I think sometimes we can have this big faith in one area of our life, but we're struggling in another, and God wants us to have big faith in every part of our life, right? So I think you got to identify, you know, where is it that you're needing to maintain some faith and grow it, and then begin to put practical steps to do that. When it comes down to tithing, you know, our pastor was preaching, it's so true. Start somewhere. You know, they say the tithe is 10%. Well, you know, maybe you have some expenses that you feel like there's no way I could take 10% of my income and give it back to God. Well, it's really His, right? It's really just releasing what's already His. But start somewhere. Start at the 2%. Start at the 3%. Whatever, something, some kind of practical, consistent step towards maintaining whatever it is that you're needing. If you're needing a better, you know, a healthy lifestyle, what are practical steps? If you're trying to better some relationships, what are practical steps to better that? If you're trying to start a new business, what are practical steps to do that? Are you trying to find financial freedom? What are practical steps to do that? If you're trying to get rid of unforgiveness, what are practical daily steps you can do to release unforgiveness or bitterness, whatever that is? What are practical steps? I think the key to maintaining is finding practical steps. Begin to be consistent in those things and then increase them, whatever they are.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really the problem. And we're almost out of time. That's really the problem with Peter here. He took an impractical step. Now, it's a step of faith. But he took such a big step. He didn't think ahead, right? He didn't maintain. And his experience, though, is familiar to many of us, right? We have moments of great faith. We believe with everything in us, our whole heart. We pray, we fervently jump, right? We look for God's intervention. We hear Jesus call, we jump out of the boat. Reality hits. I mean, that's where many of us are right now, right? Reality hits, nothing changes, problems emerge. You're going through life, right? Because you took such a big faith, and the big step of faith was it was great. But, you know, now what? And then the inconsistency, as Diana has mentioned, you know, comes in, or we get discouraged, but reality hits, problems emerge, things, you know, may even appear worse, and suddenly it seems impossible. And here's what happens: our faith begins to sink, just like Peter did. And it's hard to hold on to big faith, right, in a broken world. And here's the solution, right, to little faith. And that's really what this is about, right? It's maintaining faith, but really what it is growing our faith in Him. And the solution to little faith, it's not the smallness of it. I mean, God didn't say, hey, the faith of the size of mustard seed can move a mountain, but He didn't say, hey, that's just where I want you to stay. He never allows us to stay. So when He says little faith, I believe that the little faith is that that comes and goes, that just is inconsistent. And the solution to little faith is so obvious in Matthew 12, 22 through 33, right? Our faith explodes. It grows when we keep our eyes on Jesus. And that's where Peter really lost it, if you think about it. The storm was there the whole time. The waves, I mean, they were in trouble because of the storm. Jesus came to them because of the storm, in the middle of the storm.
Looking to Jesus, the perfecter of our faith.
Yeah, the author, the finisher, the perfecter. I love it. That's Hebrews 12. But if you think about it, keeping your eyes on Him, looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. And if we do that, I believe that we make it. We keep our eyes on His promises. How do you do that? You keep your eyes on His word, on His power. You encourage yourself in Scripture. you believe in his sovereignty, right? Which is his sovereignty, is he can do whatever he wants. That's the craziest thing. I mean, we forget sometimes. Our son reminded us a couple weeks ago, you know, with the testimony of a miracle, that we take for granted sometimes the miraculous of God. You know, that God, listen, if you live in the bounds of the scripture, you're going to need a lot less miracles. Because, you know, if you live biblically financially, you'll need less miracles financially. In different ways. If you live within the boundaries of the word, you'll need less miracles, but it doesn't mean that you never need a miracle or that God's not the God of the impossible. And your faith, you know, when we focus on the waves like Peter did, or we focus on the storm like Peter did, we focus on the impossible and you know, the impossibility of the vision or the impossibility of the request, then I believe our faith implodes. So keeping our eyes on Jesus, it sounds straightforward, but Peter found this out. It's challenging.
I think we have to be aware and acknowledge that they're there, but don't let it change our gaze off of Jesus. That's really pretty much, I'm picturing Peter was walking, and instead of just acknowledging and recognizing they were there, like, okay, and still looking straight ahead to Jesus, he probably said, whoa, that's a big one right there. Yeah. So I think it's about, you have to acknowledge, like, we don't, everything's not, you know, rainbows and butterflies, right? Life happens. I think we have to acknowledge them and be aware, but don't fix our gaze. There's a difference between glancing and bouncing back. Glancing, oh crap. And that's probably not the best word. Sorry, guys. That was such a refined word. But, you know, like acknowledging them, but hey, that really didn't go the way I wanted it, but fix my eyes, you know, back on Jesus. Hey, that didn't go, you know, that kind of hurt. Nope. You know what, God, I'm going to fix my gaze back on you because you're going to touch me, right? You're going to heal me. You're going to strengthen me. You're going to encourage me. You're going to lift me up. So, oh, I slipped there. So I think it's about acknowledging and recognizing, but fixing my gaze right back on him.
If you keep your eyes on Jesus, his grace and his power, I believe this, we'll be surprised on how quickly little faith becomes big faith. Amen?
Amen.
Hey, thank you guys for tuning in. Don't miss tomorrow. We're freestyling it. And no Dumasani, I am not going to rap.
I'm pulling for him. I'm pulling for him, Dumasani. I'm trying.
Not me.
Thank you all for tuning in today. We hope you guys are going to enjoy this series and are enjoying this series on freestyle. We do not know what tomorrow's topic will be, so make sure you tune in to find out what we'll be talking about. If you guys would like, we have a daily encouragement text that goes out every single morning that you can opt into. It is completely free. You can text the letters EZGC to 813-522-3356. To everybody who's with us live every single morning, we always appreciate you guys being with us. But if for any reason you guys can't be on the live streams, you can always keep up with us in two ways. Number one, you can always go to YouTube, hit the subscribe button, and hit the bell when you look up Game Changer Podcast Live so that you know when we upload, because we upload the replays every single day at 3:30. Also, if you guys prefer the audio version of a podcast, we are available on all the popular audio podcasting platforms, the biggest one being Apple Podcast. But whichever one you use, make sure you subscribe to us. Make sure that you guys go and check out, before I get to that one, I'm jumping ahead of myself in my notes. If you guys are listening or watching this episode on replay, you can always join us live on YouTube and Facebook every single morning. You can search Game Changer Podcast Live, and we will show up on Facebook and YouTube Live every single morning at 8:30 a.m. EST. Make sure you check out the feature Bible plan of the week. It is God Said. It's a six-day reading plan on YouVersion and the Bible app, so make sure you subscribe to it, read through it, and then let us know what you think about it. But thank you all for tuning in today. We hope you guys enjoy the rest of your day. We'll see you bright and early tomorrow morning for the next episode of Freestyle. And on that note,
we out. Thanks so much for listening. If you're enjoying the podcast and you want to connect further, check out the David Villa's Game Changer group on Facebook. We'll see you next time on the next episode of Game Changer.